we're going to speak about how beautiful Jesus is. When we were hearing these various testimonies, and we'll hear a few more, but it really centers on our love for Jesus. And I was thinking about something. Have any of you ever been lost? I've been lost many different times. I remember as a little boy, maybe only 6 years old, our family was at Knott's Berry Farm. And I had a younger brother. He was three. And I don't know for what reason, but as my parents were getting food, I wandered off with my younger brother. I didn't think I was lost at all, but I just wandered off. And we walked around in Knott's Berry Farm, and I remember falling on a cactus. And on my hand, there were all these little stickers that come from a cactus in my hand, embedded in my hand. And I didn't cry, although I probably felt like crying, but I was too scared to cry because I realized I'm really lost. I don't know where my mom and dad are at. And I don't know how I found them or how they found me, but I remember sitting on a bench with my mom, and she wasn't mad at all. And she held my hand, and I could almost feel it today, and then individually took out each one of those little thorns, those little stickers that came from the cactus. I was lost. A few years ago, we were leaving Colorado. We were headed to the airport, and we didn't have a GPS, but I had my iPad, and I had it set up to tell us just how to get to the airport, and it was on my wife's lap, and she was to dictate to me the correct directions. And this always leads to confrontation, I can assure you. But for some strange reason, I think that she mistakenly hit the iPad with a finger that put a new flag in on the map that created new directions unbeknownst to me. I believe we were headed towards Kansas because I saw airplanes flying to the airport and we're headed in an absolutely different direction. We were lost. God knows that when we have come to this earth, we come here, we're here on this earth, but we're lost. We're really lost. And as we have two flags that are behind us, you see the Christian flag there and the United States of America flag there. That flag tells us what country we're in. That flag tells you what country I belong to. My homeland is in heaven. But if I could, for this evening, just in this brief little devotional message, if I could ask you to imagine that there's three flags behind me, three flags, and they each have a word on them. One word is way, the other word is truth, and the other word is life. There's a flag that says way, W-A-Y, a flag that says truth, and a flag that says life, L-I-F-E. They're right here, they're right behind me. You see, Thomas, he's called the apostle. Many call him the doubter. But since that's kind of my name, I don't like that. That sounds negative. So I found in some other book, and I had to look hard, that the name Thomas could also mean seeker of truth. I like that. That ministers to my pride real nicely. But Thomas was there with Jesus. And he was saying to Jesus, after he explained not to be troubled, not to worry, he's going to heaven, he's got everything in control. And Thomas made it clear that he doesn't know the way. Thomas says, well, I'm lost, I don't know the way. And Jesus would say to Thomas, and Jesus says to us right now, that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Now please, this is so important in this day, to understand that Jesus did not say, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. No, he said with absolute authority, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. There's no other truth than the truth that comes from me. And I am the life. I'm the one that can give you eternal life. So until we realize that we're all lost, we're in trouble. When we realize we're lost, we're looking for a roadmap. And Jesus says, I am the roadmap. I am the way for you. And I'm going to lead you in the way that I love for you to go. It's interesting because in his ministry, in John's gospel, Jesus would say in chapter 10, I am the door. So as we focus in on that first flag, the way, how do you get there? There is a way. There's a clear way. And that way, Jesus says, I'm a door. You have to go through me. There's no other way other than through Jesus. And he says, I am the door in John chapter 10, and speaking about the door that we're going to enter in. And he says, if you enter in through this door, you will be saved. You'll also notice this clarification, because it tells us in Romans, we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. So Jesus is the way. There is no other way. And he says, just to make it really clear, there's a door that you have to enter into. And he says, I'm that door. You have to come through me. I spoke on Sunday about three issues we contend with. Idols was one of them, wasn't it? It was the first one. Idolatry can lead and does lead to immorality, and then that can lead to complaining. But I grew up in a church, the Roman Catholic Church, and in terms of the doctrinal belief, it would be accurate, but in terms of the practice, it wasn't. Because I was told that I had to go through other people that lived, whether it was Mary or St. Christopher or others. That's idolatry. Jesus says, no, I am the only way. I am the door that you go through. In Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to open that up for us. Now, there's one little nugget of truth that goes with this. And just listen, it comes from the book of Hebrews. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And in chapter 10 of Hebrews, and in verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. I know this goes from simplicity to something a little bit deeper, but some of your souls want this. And it says in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So Jesus is the way. There's no other way. And the way is into what is known as the most holy of holiest places, a place we've never been before, a place we've never seen. But it is, of all places, the most holy place of all. And when we enter that door into heaven, we enter into this realm that we have no idea today. The holiness of heaven resides there. The King of Kings, the High Priest, and we enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So the second flag, the way was the first flag. The second way was what? Second flag was what?
The truth.
The truth. Right. So when Jesus Christ came, he said in John's Gospel, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The prophets brought the law, but Jesus brought the grace and truth. And then he said, listen, I want to rescue you. You're lost. I want to save you. I want to bring you home. Not to the country that you belong to, but to the heavenly country I've prepared for you. And I want to bring you home. And he says, if you understand I am the truth, when my truth abides in you, you will be set free. You'll be set free here right now. And I must say that we, as believers, in these days right now, these days that we see at least are pretty dark and despairing, and the news speaks about untold violence that can happen. I mean, as the holidays approach and as this weekend's going on, the national word here and globally is to watch out that something disastrous is probably highly likely to happen. That's what's being communicated. But Jesus says, I want to communicate something to you. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth. So the truth is, God, you're in control, and you have a heavenly country prepared for me. I'm going to enter into this holy of holies sort of place in the future, heaven with you. You've provided it by your blood, and you've given me this truth. And if your truth abides in me, then I should not be living in fear and in discouragement, but set free, knowing he's in charge. He's absolutely in control. This one who occupies the throne in heaven is not moved one bit by what's going on here. And he wants to settle our hearts and our minds and our emotions in him. Amen? So there's one more. If the first flag was the way, the truth, and what's the last one? Life. In this, we must understand the world makes lots of promises. And let's just say that they're sincere promises. Many people have made promises to you, but those promises aren't kept. Those promises are broken. You can make great promises in a great speech and move people, but you're not certain whether those promises are going to come true. And we must apply that to what Jesus said. Jesus, you said you're going to give me life, but I need proof. You said you're the way. You said you're the truth. But life? Life eternal? I mean, you can make that offer, but you have to validate that offer. And Jesus says, I understand. And that's why he went to the cross. And that's why he died on the cross. And that's why he rose again from the dead. And he has showed us and the whole world, that he conquered death. He said, death has no hold on me. I broke the bonds of death. I'm alive. And therefore, he validated his claim. He said he's the resurrection and the life. But validate that. That's a lofty statement. But he says, I will. I will. Someone once said, on Good Friday, that's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You've heard that Sunday's coming. And he is risen. And he is alive. And his disciples saw him leave to heaven. And they stared upward, gazing. And the angel says, why do you look upward? This same Jesus that took off to heaven is going to return in a like manner. Our lives are in his hands. And either he calls us to be with him or he comes and gets us to be with him. He is the resurrection. He is the life. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you that you may know that you have life in Jesus Christ, eternal life. And that's from 1 John 5. And then finally, in John's gospel, back to chapter 10, where he says he's the door, he also says that he's the good shepherd. And he says, this is the deal. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But in John 10:10, Jesus said, stop. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We are thankful today for Jesus because he has claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. We live here, but this isn't our permanent home. We're headed to a new country. A heavenly country, a home prepared by Jesus for us. Amen.